All right, folks, let's dive in. Today, we're unpacking some fascinating insights from Dr. Daniel K. Darko. He's tackling Ephesians 4.17-32, specifically what it means to no longer live as the Gentiles.
Intriguing, isn't it?
It really is. This is part of his series on the prison epistles, and honestly, it's given me a lot to think about. Ready to explore what early Christians were told about how to live and whether that still matters today.
Oh, absolutely. Dr. Darko really gets you thinking with this lecture. Right off the bat, he challenges a common interpretation of Gentiles. He says it's not so much about ethnicity, but more about a mindset.
You know, most people probably assume it's about a literal difference between Jews and non-Jews. So he's saying it's more about how you think.
Exactly. Back then, Gentile was often used like, well, a derogatory term. Kind of like saying outsider.
Mm.
And Paul, writing to a mixed community in Ephesus, is pushing for a total shift away from that outsider mentality. He wants to create a unified community with a shared way of thinking, a shared way of being.
So he's essentially saying, if you follow Christ, you're not defined by your old labels or ways of thinking anymore. You're stepping into a whole new identity.
Right. And to really emphasize this, Dr. Darko brings up Romans 1.21, you know, where Paul describes those without God as having futile and darkened minds.
Yeah. It's a strong image, for sure.
It really connects with what he's saying in Ephesians, doesn't it?
It does. It might sound harsh at first, but I think the point is there's a real need for a mental transformation when you embrace Christian faith. It's not just outward actions. It's a shift in how you see the whole world, like changing your mental operating system or something.
That's a great analogy. And it's not just about receiving new information, right? It's about actively putting off old ways of thinking and putting on the new.
Oh, I love that he uses that clothing metaphor.
Powerful, isn't it? Like shedding an old skin and stepping into a new one.
It really is. But I also noticed Dr. Darko pointed out that putting off the old self is an imperative. It's our responsibility while being renewed is more passive. It's like we're called to actively get rid of the old, but the new growth comes from somewhere else.
That's an interesting observation.
Well, yeah.
It makes me think of the Stoic philosophy that was popular back then.
Stoic philosophy.
Yeah. The Stoics were all about the connection between thought and behavior. The idea that what you think directly influences how you act.
Oh, interesting. So Paul's emphasis on the mind wasn't happening in isolation. It was part of a larger conversation that was already going on.
Right.
But how does the Stoic idea apply to us today? I mean, are we supposed to be like emotionless robots?
Not at all. It's more about recognizing the power of our thoughts. Like, think about it. You're constantly bombarded with negative news, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you let those thoughts take root, they can actually shape your outlook. They can even shape your actions.
I see what you mean. It's like if you're always dwelling on the worst case scenario, you might start acting in ways that actually make that scenario more likely.
Exactly.
So in a way, choosing to focus on the positive, or at least challenging those negative thoughts, is an act of, well, putting on the new, like Paul talks about.
That's a great way to put it. It's about taking ownership of our mental landscape
and
cultivating thoughts that lead to positive action.
Okay, that makes sense.
And this leads us to a really interesting part in Dr. Darko's lecture.
Yeah.
The discussion on anger.
Oh!
See, Paul seems to make two kind of contradictory statements. In one place, he says, be angry and do not sin.
Right.
But then he also says, let all bitterness and wrath be put away from you.
Okay, yeah, that is confusing. Like, is anger okay or not? Most of us are taught that anger is always bad, right?
Yeah.
But Paul seems to be saying there's a way to be angry without sinning.
Right.
How's that even possible?
That's where Dr. Darko brings in a surprising perspective, Aristotle's. Yeah. Now, Aristotle wasn't a Christian, but he had some insightful things to say about anger. He actually argued that anger itself isn't inherently bad.
Wait, really?
It can actually be a force for justice when it's directed appropriately.
Aristotle thought it was okay to get mad. I mean, he was all about logic and reason. This is kind of blowing my mind.
I know. It's surprising, right?
Yeah.
But think about it. Imagine a judge who sees someone commit a terrible crime. That judge might feel anger. And that anger could fuel their commitment to ensuring justice is served.
Mm.
Aristotle believed that anger in its proper place can actually motivate us to right wrongs, to fight for what's good.
Okay, I can see that. But then how do we reconcile that with Paul's warning against bitterness and wrath?
Yeah.
Where do we draw the line between righteous anger and the kind that leads to sin?
That's where it gets really interesting. Dr. Darko points out that there are actually different Greek words used for anger in the Bible. each one describes a different shade of this complex emotion. Like, there's bitterness, which is like this deep-seated resentment that just festers, poisons your soul. Mm. It's the kind of anger that eats away at you from the inside.
Oh, wow. That's
not good. Good.
So that's definitely not the righteous anger Aristotle was talking about. But what about wrath? Isn't that sometimes used in the Bible to describe God's anger?
It is. But even God's wrath is ultimately motivated by love and justice. When Paul warns against wrath, he's talking about that uncontrolled, explosive rage, the kind that often leads to destructive behavior.
Yeah.
It's the kind of anger that erupts without thought or reason, causing harm to ourselves and others.
Okay, so I'm starting to see the distinction here. It's not about suppressing all anger. It's about recognizing the different types and learning how to channel it in a healthy way. Like, it's okay to feel anger when you see injustice, but you don't want to let it turn into bitterness or make you lash out in rage.
Precisely. And here's the thing. Paul actually warns that prolonged anger creates an opening for the devil.
Oh, wow.
He's adding a whole spiritual dimension to this. It's like those negative emotions become a vulnerability that can be exploited.
So it's not just about our emotional well-being. It's about protecting ourselves spiritually as well.
Exactly. And this leads perfectly into what Dr. Darko discusses next, forgiveness. Paul writes, "Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." It's like he's offering the direct antidote to all that bitterness and wrath.
So forgiveness isn't just a nice idea. It's a crucial part of this whole transformation process, right?
Absolutely.
We're called to let go of those poisonous feelings, not just for our own sake, but for the sake of the community and our relationship with God.
Exactly. And it's not just letting go in a casual way either. The Greek word for forgive, aphemi, can actually mean to divorce.
Divorce. Whoa, that's a strong word. I never thought about forgiveness that way before.
Yeah, it implies a radical separation from the cause of pain. Like, you're completely cutting ties with that hurt. It's the same kind of radical separation that God offered us when he forgave our sins. He completely divorced us from our past, offering us a fresh start.
Wow, that puts forgiveness in a whole new light. It's not just about saying, oh, it's okay, and moving on. It's about actively choosing to sever ties with that hurt and embrace a new reality. That's powerful.
It is. And what's really interesting is that Paul connects this back to the Lord's Prayer, you know, where we ask God to forgive us as we forgive others.
Oh, yeah. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's heavy stuff.
It's like our ability to forgive others is directly tied to our own experience of receiving forgiveness from God.
It makes you wonder, what would our lives and our communities look like if we all embraced this radical kind of forgiveness? Imagine a world where everyone was willing to divorce themselves from past hurts and offer that same grace to others.
It's a beautiful and challenging concept, isn't it? We can't truly receive and experience God's forgiveness if we're clinging to bitterness and resentment toward others.
That's so true. It makes you think.
It does, doesn't it?
It's amazing how forgiveness ties into the next thing Dr. Darko talks about, work ethic. At first, I wouldn't think those two are connected, but the more I think about it, the more it makes sense.
Oh, for sure. Forgiveness is like this foundation, isn't it?
Yeah.
It frees us up to live differently, to act differently. And that's where Paul's instructions about work and generosity come in.
Right. It's not just about work hard so you can buy a bunch of stuff.
Exactly.
So what is Paul saying here? What's the deeper purpose of work?
Well, he contrasts stealing with honest labor. So it's clear we're called to work with integrity. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say that the purpose isn't just to meet our own needs, but to have something to share. To share with those in need.
Okay, I see the connection now. It's about using what we earn to help others, not just to pile up wealth for ourselves. It's that generosity piece coming in.
Yes. And this message feels so relevant today. You know, we live in a culture that often glorifies individual success and material possessions. Paul's teaching is like a countercultural message.
It is. But I have to admit, sometimes I struggle with this. Like, how do I balance working hard to provide for my family with this call to generosity? It feels like a constant tension.
I know what you mean. It's a tension I think we all feel. But Dr. Darko reminds us that this idea, this ethic of work and generosity, it's woven all throughout Scripture. He points out similar teachings in 2 Thessalonians, even in Proverbs. This isn't just some random idea from Paul. It's a consistent theme.
So it's about a fundamental shift in how we see things. It's not about calculating how much to give, but about seeing our work as a way to participate in God's work. You know, that work of caring for others.
That's it. It's about viewing our resources, our time, our talents, as gifts to be used for something bigger than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that something bigger is caring for those in need.
I love that. And it's not just about writing a check, right? It's about using our skills and resources to make a real difference. Maybe it's volunteering our time, mentoring someone, or even just being a good neighbor.
Exactly. There are so many ways to live out this principle of generosity, and it might look different for each of us.
This makes me think of something Dr. Darko said about how interconnected our lives are. He was talking about how our actions, both in thought and deed, ripple out and affect others. It's like we're all part of this intricate web, and our choices impact the whole.
It's a powerful image, and it connects with the last point Dr. Darko makes in his lecture, the power of words. He talks about how Paul warns against corrupting talk and emphasizes instead edifying speech.
Ah, yes. It all comes back to that idea of community, how our actions, even our words, can either build others up or tear them down.
Right. And the word Paul uses for corrupting, it's so vivid. It literally refers to rotting fruit. Like you get this image of decay and contamination.
Ugh. That's an image that sticks with you, makes you think twice about the things you say. I mean, if words can be that destructive, they must also have incredible power to heal and restore, right?
Absolutely. And Dr. Darko points out that Jesus himself in Matthew 12 warns about the impact of our words, about the accountability we face for them.
So it's not just about avoiding gossip or being nice. It's about recognizing the inherent power of our words and choosing to use them intentionally to encourage, to uplift, to speak truth.
Exactly. It's about seeing our words as tools for building up, for sharing hope and encouragement, for speaking life into those around us. And that's a responsibility we shouldn't take lightly.
Makes you wonder, in this world where we're just bombarded with information and opinions, what kind of impact are our words having? Are we adding to the negativity, or are we using our voices to spread love, truth, and grace?
Such a good question. It's one we all need to be asking ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, the way we use our words shows what's in our hearts, right? If we're filled with bitterness and resentment, that's going to come out in how we speak. But if we're cultivating forgiveness and generosity and love in our hearts, our words will naturally reflect that.
I love that. Our words are like a litmus test, showing the transformation happening on the inside. And, you know, listening to Dr. Darko's lecture and having this conversation with you has really challenged me to pay attention to how I'm speaking. I want to make sure I'm using my words to build others up, not to tear them down.
You too. It's something we have to be aware of, intentional about. But that's what makes it exciting. It's a journey. And every step we take in the right direction makes a difference.
It really gets you thinking about the impact of what we say, you know, not just the words themselves, but the intention behind them and the effect they have. It's true. And that idea of our words shaping the spiritual atmosphere around us, that's pretty mind-blowing, isn't it? Makes you think about the combined effect of all the communication that's happening, especially in today's digital world.
It really does. Think about how much we're all talking these days. Texting, posting online, with all that chatter, are we creating a more positive or negative spiritual environment? It's like we're all weaving this huge tapestry of words, and each little thread adds to the overall picture.
That's a really powerful way to think about it. And if we take it seriously, it changes things, doesn't it? It's not just about being nice or avoiding gossip. It's recognizing that our words have this spiritual weight that we often forget about.
I'm also thinking about how this connects back to that idea of transformation we were talking about earlier. If we're really trying to shed that old self and embrace the new, shouldn't that show up in how we communicate?
Oh, absolutely. It's like our words become a measure of how much we're actually growing spiritually. Are we speaking from a place of love, forgiveness, generosity? Or are our words still coming from that old place of bitterness and resentment?
It's definitely a challenge, especially when it's so easy to get caught up in all the negativity and criticism out there. But I think that's why this whole idea of transforming how we speak is so crucial. It's a way to actively participate in that renewal process, that change in our hearts and minds.
And it's a way to contribute to a more positive spiritual atmosphere, too. Imagine if we all committed to using our words to build each other up, to inspire and encourage one another.
That's a beautiful thought. You know, after going through Dr. Darko's lecture and discussing it with you, I feel like I have this whole new understanding of how powerful words can be. It's not just about communicating. It's about shaping our inner world, our relationships, and even the world around us. I feel the same way. It reminds us that even tiny changes in how we talk can have a huge impact, and it all starts with that inward change, that putting off the old and embracing the new that Paul talked about.
So to everyone listening out there, we encourage you to come along on this journey of transformation with us. Pay attention to your words, choose them carefully, Let them be a reflection of the good things in your heart. The love, the grace, the hope.
And remember, you don't have to go it alone. We have the power of the Spirit working in us, guiding us toward wholeness and helping us engage with the world in a more meaningful way.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep searching, keep learning, and let your words make a positive difference in the world.